If I were to ask the Christian if they know God, the answer is yes, because they think that when they accepted the gift of salvation, along with that came the knowledge of who God is. Not true. That was the beginning door for you to walk into who God is. Why do we not really know God? And that was a question that was puzzling me. And so I went to God and I said, God, why don't your people know you? They come to church every week, God, and they still don't know you. They watch the television preachers and yet they still don't know you. What happened? And God made it real simple for me. He said, we are afraid to know him. We are afraid of the cost associated with knowing him. When you get to know God, you'll begin to understand his will, and that's a problem. You mean I have to pray? Every day? Multiple times a day? I have to give up my Sunday mornings and my Wednesday evenings? What do you mean there's a class on Fridays? Seriously? A Bible study on Tuesday? Why do they keep passing that offering basket? Is this like a restaurant where I just give a tip? Why do I have to give it before I hear the sermon? The music's too loud. How do I turn it off? Why I gotta raise my hands up? They're tired. I've worked all week. You want me to pray for who? When? Where? How? Did somebody say work day? Do you mean to say that God wants me to clean the church? Many Christians do not want to know God because it makes them uncomfortable. The truth is that the more you know him, the more is required of you. We know this, so it's easier to not get to know him. It's easier to just play Christian. I remember those days that I thought all God wants is for me to show up on Sunday. And every time I got to know God a little bit better, I had to give up something else. I understand why you don't want to know God. Sometimes I think there's nothing left of me. The truth is, I wouldn't even be alive if it were not for the hand of God. The truth is, I'm more powerful because I know him. The truth is that I'm a better person because I know him. The truth is I am no longer living in fear because I know him. The truth is that when I finally stand before him, I will wish that I had done so much more. I will wish I knew him so much more. Better. We'll continue on with the scriptures. We're in Ephesians chapter 7 or verse 7. If you missed the first part, get the CD and get caught up. This is important. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the first thing that you find out about God. It's the first thing you find out about Jesus. In him, because of the blood that he shed, paved the way for our sins to be forgiven. You know why we don't understand that? Because we don't know how to forgive. I caution you very clearly that that person that you're refusing to forgive is the gate that blocks you from the entrance of heaven, and you will go straight to hell. That's the truth. Jesus said, forgive your brother or your sister, or my Father in heaven will not forgive you. If your Father in heaven does not forgive you, then there's no redemption. You're not going to meet Jesus on my watch and say, I didn't know that I had to forgive somebody. I have worked very hard the last 5 years of forgiving the people that need forgiving. And if you're honest, you'll realize that it's a very difficult chore. But then I got to ask myself, are they worth my eternal life? Haven't they done enough damage to me? Haven't they said enough? Haven't they done enough? Haven't they affected me enough? Now I'm going to give them the rest of my life? I don't forgive them for them. I forgive them for me. It releases me. It frees me. In accordance with the riches of God's grace. What does that mean? That means you don't deserve to be forgiven. That means there's nothing that you did on your own that would ever earn you forgiveness in God's eyes. But his grace is so rich that there's not a single sin other than grieving the Holy Spirit that you'll commit that he cannot forgive you. That he lavished on us. He pours out the grace with all wisdom and understanding. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that what we're trying to get? Understanding that we might know God so that we would know his will? Do you understand? I just told you the will of God. The will of God is that you'll do what you have to do so that he can do for you. But we don't want to do what we have to do because some fool told us all we had to do was say John 3:16. My bet is you better know a few more scriptures on top of that one. My bet is you better learn how to forgive somebody, whether they deserve it or not, because God forgave you and you didn't deserve it. Stop trying to administer street justice to somebody else if you don't want street justice administered to you. He made known to all of us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. You see, people are wondering, well, I wonder what the will of God is. No, you don't need to wonder what the will of God is. God made it known. You just refuse to get to know him so that you can know his will. It was his pleasure to educate me. It was his pleasure to show me what his perfect will was. And it's His will, His pleasure when I abide in it. Which He purposed in Christ. Watched a movie last night and a man made this statement, Christ was the game changer. You see, before Christ, I had to earn it. But I wasn't capable of earning it. It's like sending you to NASA and asking you to build a rocket ship. I don't know if there's any rocket scientists in here. Usually there's not because they're all at NASA. Can't do it. I can't build a rocket ship. Neither can I earn. But God will give you His perfect will. To be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, you've got to understand what that just said. That just said something. You see, if you're not in unity with your brother, if you're not in unity with your sister in Christ, then you're outside of God's will. You don't know the will of God because you don't know Him. There is no room in my life. There is no room in this church for me to be at odds with any of you. Yes, I know what a fool you can be. Hang around me long enough, you'll know what a fool I can be. But it doesn't give us an excuse. It doesn't give us a reason. Because God's will is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Under Christ. In Him we're also chosen. Having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. The will of God is this, guys. I want no one to perish. And I heard some preacher say, I don't think there's a real hell because God's a loving God and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. And I'm like, quit. You don't know what you're talking about. Get off the pulpit. No, God doesn't want to send you to hell. God won't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. Hell was not made for you. You don't go to have a party with your brothers. You don't go to split hell wide open. You go as an intruder. It was never made for you. God made heaven for you. And it is His divine will that no man shall perish. And then we got the fools on the other side saying, well, God predestined those that were going to go. No, He didn't. That's not what the Scripture says. What the Scripture says is He's had it in His mind that you'll all go. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And I had to figure out what that meant. And I realized, because He wants us to spread the news to others. He wants us to live a life that others would look at you and say, ah, I wish I could be like that. You would draw men to Him by by lifting up his name. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. While I was yet a sinner, he loved me. That's the truth. I was unlovable and he loved me. Had a lady come in here. I don't know how my sensor's going to do with this or not, but what I have to go through, y'all have no idea. I'm here in the sanctuary one Sunday and I'm praising God. Don't bother me when I'm praising God, please. Wait. It can wait. Trying to get my praise on. Trying to get ready to give you a word from God. And she comes to me and she interrupts my praise and say, "You see that guy over there? He gives me the creeps. You got to do something about him." You ain't going to be here long. You don't know God. You don't even want to know God. You're judging somebody you don't even know their name across the room. The truth is, God created heaven for all of us. And he's given you his will because it is his will that will get you there. Nothing else is going to get you there. But that you believe the truth in him and you follow his will. The Bible says work out your salvation. It doesn't say take your salvation and celebrate. So work out your salvation with trembling and fear. I question my salvation. I'm not going to blindly believe because I said John 3:16 that my future's secure. I got to get right with God in all areas of my life. I've got to understand God. I got to know God. I got to follow in God's will. I have to make a change. Do you think that you've sat here for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years? And if I don't see a change in you, do you think I think you're saved? If I was the same guy I used to be, would I be saved? How can a Jesus, how can a Holy Spirit live inside of me and I remain the same? It's not possible. It's not a light switch. For some people it can be, but for most of us, we're going to be drug kicking and screaming. We're going to try to hold on to our old self. We're going to try to hold on to our flesh as long as we can. But every day, we become a little more Jesus and a little less us. I can't wait to see the man that I'm going to be 10 years from now. I'm nothing compared to who that man's going to be. Nothing. I'm going to look back at this day and shake my head, "You poor fool." Just like I look back 10 years and shake my head and say, "You poor fool." When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal and promised the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my seal. God bless you both. We'll see you soon. The Holy Spirit is my seal. And see, I like the Holy Spirit inside of me. You like the Holy Spirit inside of me. You just might not know it. I have to hold on to that Holy Spirit. I have to push me down that I might decrease, that he might increase, so that I can be who he wants me to be. Who is a deposit? This is the Holy Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I have an inheritance coming. And God gives me, let you in on a little secret, God gives me little bits and pieces of it now. Called blessings. Sometimes they're little. Sometimes they're just a little gift card to a grocery store. But it's a blessing. It's part of your inheritance. When you refuse somebody giving you a blessing, you know what kind of fool you are? What you're saying is, I don't want my inheritance. Don't do that. God might not give you any more. Just smile and say, thank you. Thank you for my inheritance. God brings it to you through other people. Do you know why sometimes, oh, this is my rabbit trail. Here we go. This is important. Do you know why sometimes you can't stand somebody? Oh, I'm bringing it, Johnny. I'm bringing it, baby. See, you can't stand that guy. He gets on your last nerve. Because the devil has divided you because he holds your blessing. Oh, he's got something for you. But you're not going to get it. Because you let the devil get in the middle of it. All right, so far everything's for free. We've got 3-4 more hours left. First scripture, please. Now, I'm going to teach you how to know God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. This is why people don't know God. They believe every little spirit that comes their way. Let me get a message from somewhere today, and I'm sure I will. And I'm going to sit down and say, where'd that come from? Did that come from you, God? Did that come from the enemy of my soul? Or did that come from me? Three places you hear voices. And the Bible says, hey, test the spirits. Don't believe all the spirits. Test them to see if they're from God. We were in the office today, and I gave a reference, and I used Picasso and Rembrandt as my illustration. And Pastor Brett stands up and says, I used that same illustration yesterday. And we have not talked. And that's a confirmation from Pastor Brett that what he heard was from God. And he started to cry when I told him, when I started to give this illustration about Picasso and Rembrandt. You see, you've got to test the spirits. Because everything Pastor Brett hears is not from God. I know. I can't confirm that, Pastor Brett. I want confirmation. I don't have time to make another mistake. Did you hear me? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Got into a false prophet situation one day. The prophet was invited to my house. Let me check my sensor. I'm okay. Her eyes are wide. And the prophet began to talk and begin to say everything in my house was evil. My wife has a ceramic doll collection that I got for her many years ago. And the dolls were all custom made to her specifications. She picked the color of the eyes, the color of the hair, the shape of the face, the color of the clothes, what type of clothes, what ethnicity. Did I say that right? She's got black dolls, she got white dolls, she got Puerto Rican dolls, she got Eskimo dolls, she got Indian dolls, she got everybody. And the prophet came in and said the dolls were winking at her. We need to take them outside to the driveway and smash them. This is a true story. We're art collectors, and we have an extensive art collection, and she wanted us to destroy it all. And the class got all excited. They want to see, what's Pastor going to do? Pastor ain't doing none of that. Because that spirit didn't come from God, it came from hell. And there was no confirmation. And I was not at peace in my spirit. And I know how to pray the evil spirit out of things. You can't reside in what I've cast you out of. We're antiquers. We got any antiquers in here? We got some antiquers in here, right? We love to go antiquing. We spend most of our downtime antiquing. All over the state, all over the country. I pray the spirit out of everything I buy. I don't buy anything that I don't pray the spirit out of. I don't know what's in there. I don't know if there's anything in there. I don't know what's in there. But I know it's old. I know it's had a lot of opportunity to get some spirit in it. So I start, God, I remove every foul spirit that might have attached itself to this thing that I bought. There are evil spirits in this church right now that don't scare me. They'll have a little meeting later. How do we contain him? I'll just tell you now. Can't be done. Meeting adjourned. If you could have killed me, you already would have done it. God's put a protection barrier on my life, and you can't touch me. If you could, you already would have. Movie last night, and if you get to see this movie, it's called Interview with God. I forgot what I was going to say. Don't listen to every spirit. That's not how you know God. There's two types of words. There's the logos word and the rhema word, right? The logos is the written word of God, and the rhema is the spoken word of God that comes from the inside of you, not from the outside, by the way. Unless you're Moses. The logos word always backs up the rhema word. God doesn't contradict himself. Test the spirits. Know who you're talking to. Don't be afraid to go to one of the pastors and say, this is what I think I heard. See, we're at a disadvantage because when you come to us and say, God said blah, 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 we're like, okay. There's not a pastor in this house that's going to go against what God said. Not and live, if I find out. And God said I had to do this. You go right ahead. Or you could approach it a little differently. I think I heard this. Can you get me a confirmation? I get this call from time to time. Can you give me a confirmation? Sure, on what? I'm not telling you. Those are the best. I've done it to people. I've called somebody when the little girl got run over by the lawnmower and they were going to amputate her legs. And the people knew somebody who went to our church, and they asked that person, call your pastor to see whether they're supposed to amputate the legs. And I get this phone call, Johnny, it's Saturday, and they're going to amputate on Sunday. And they said, my relatives, whoever they were, want to know if they should amputate the baby's legs. And I pick up the phone. I'm like, well, you know, the doctor said that that's what has to be done. And so you should follow what the... And I hung up the phone and I picked the phone back up and I called back. I said, please forgive everything I ever said to you. Erase it, erase, erase. I need to go to God and see what God wants to do. Don't do anything till you hear from me. And I went to God and I said, God, what do we need to do concerning this little girl? And God said, you don't need to do anything. I'm going to heal her. I said, okay. But I understand this scripture. And somebody's life is at stake. So I called a pastor and I said, I need a confirmation. I want you to pray. What am I praying about? Just get me a confirmation. They call back about 2 hours later and they say, God said it's not in man's hands, it's in my hands. You see, I tested the spirit. And I called them back. I said, don't touch that baby. God is going to heal her. And then something amazing happened. They actually listened. I know listening ain't y'all's strong suit. You're trying. Called back about 2 months later to see how the baby was doing. And they said, you're not going to believe it. She's jumping up and down on the bed like nothing ever happened to her. She walks perfectly. But I had to test the spirit. I'm not going to be naive enough to think everything I hear is from God, because I know Satan's got traps for me. He's trying to get me to tell you the wrong thing. And I want to know without a shadow of a doubt when I say, and God said that God said. Because I could throw that around very loosely. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I will tell you this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can only tell you what Jesus says to tell you. Okay? That's all he's allowed to tell you, what Jesus has instructed him to say to you. But I love this because here's this Holy Spirit who God has sent is going to teach me what? Everything. And it's so funny because I'll get these old-time preachers that somehow find me and they're like, well, what are your credentials? I don't have any. You didn't go to seminary? No. Now they don't come anymore now that I can now say, you know, I have a doctorate degree from J.D. Price Theological Bible College and I'm the bishop and spiritual overseer of the entire college and I teach college courses here. They don't know this scripture. We'll teach you all things. Now, why isn't the Holy Spirit teaching you anything? You're not asking. You got to ask the question. I've taught Pastor Donna how to ask the question. She's learned more from asking the questions than anything I could ever teach her. Because God responds to the questions. Are we asking? How many questions did you ask God today? How many questions did you ask him yesterday? How many questions did you ask him in the month of November? And since I preach, I ask him questions all the time. What does this mean, God? And we'll remind you of everything I have said to you. I love that part. I'm not one of those. We've got Bible dictionaries in here, walking Bible dictionaries. They start quoting verse and scripture, and I'm like, no, it's in here somewhere. Give me a minute, I'll find it. I know what it say, I just don't know where it is. They asked Einstein what his phone number was. He said, why am I going to bother to memorize something I could so easily look up? I don't know. I know some scripture. I know more than I think I know. I don't know some as much as some of our pastors know. I'll tell you that. I try to learn more and more. But come back, the remembrance comes back of what I've learned, what I've read, what I've understood. He brings it back. Why? Now you go back to the first line. Because he's my advocate. What does that mean? If I'm your advocate, Johnny, it means I'm for you, not against you. That means I'm going to help you, not hurt you. That means I'm going to walk with you, not away from you. That's what advocate means. He's my advocate. Why wouldn't he teach me if I want to learn? I got to go because time is going. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I always struggled with that for a long time. What do you mean, pick up your cross daily? Why I got to keep picking it up? Because I keep dropping it. See, God already knows you're going to drop your cross. God's given you something to do and you blew it. God told you to pray for somebody and you didn't do it. God put somebody on your heart yesterday and you ignored it. And what he wanted you to do was lift them up in prayer. I've had a week this week, very unusual. God's been bringing people to my mind 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. And I'm like, God, I lift this person up right now to you. I don't know what's going on, but I pray your blessings to be over their life. I pray your healing hand to be upon them. I pray, God, that you're drawing them closer to you. But see, to do that, I got to deny myself, which means this may have happened during the good part of the show that I was watching. Is doing what God wants me to do more important than doing what I want to do? People say, do you golf? And I do vaguely remember what a golf course looks like. And if I get an opportunity, I'm going. But I remember one time, another rabbit trail. I was at work during the Super Bowl. I worked for myself, so I didn't have to be there. And a guy comes up to me, he says, you know the Super Bowl's on, right? I said, and? He said, but you're at work. Why aren't you watching the game? I said, because they don't watch me work. You want me to watch them work, but they don't come watch me work. You see, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. Do I do that 100% of the time? No, I'm not perfect. But the people that hang around me will tell you I do it the majority of the time. There are people who tell you, I've come to see them in the hospital in Orlando. I've come to see you in the hospital in Tampa. I'll never get a church again that's not next to a major hospital. I came into Lake Placid and I saw that hospital. I'm like, good, it's right there. Nobody goes there. They go there and they ship them out. We're going to send you to a hospital. I thought you were a hospital. Takes me 5 hours to go see somebody at the hospital because I got to drive 2 hours there and 2 hours back. How many scriptures do I have left? Five? I'm going to do one or two more. Show me the next one. I like this one. For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. See, you think that you're to come against it. You think your voice has to be heard. You think and God says, just do what you do, and that will shut them up. But you want to put fuel to the fire and spread it out. That's God's will. That's the will of God for your life. By your actions, it says, you will silence your critics. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. I've already covered that one. Let's go with another one. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. What is God saying? My will is that I have a relationship with you. That's my will for your life, that I have a relationship with you. Prayer warriors, come up. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, I want you to know unequivocally that is the will of God for your life, that he has a relationship with you. Do I have to take the first step? No, it's impossible for you to take the first step. God took the first step 2,000 years ago when Jesus was sent to the cross to die for your sins. That was the first step. He wants you to take the second step, to come up and acknowledge what he did for you. That's all he wants. Thank you. I accept what you did for me. Or maybe you haven't joined a body of believers, so you're out there on your own and you don't know how to test the spirits. God said, I've created a home for you. I got you a full pastor who drives all the way from Fort Lauderdale to come here and pastor you. He'll help you change your life. Or maybe today you just want to know the will of God more. God said the first step to wisdom is to ask for wisdom. Have you asked to know the will of God? Today's a great day. I love you. I thank you for listening to my rantings. I invite you to come back and get some more. Father, we thank you for this service. I'm thankful, God, that it's going to be people step out who want to know you. The real you. Not the you that we've been taught by our forefathers. Not the you that we've been taught by false prophets. Not the you that we invented in our own mind. Not the you that we put limitations on. Not the you that we can't trust. But we want to know you, the lover of our souls.